Woke up in the morning.
Let's begin with a new segment, sure to win your hearts and minds over the next few years.
On the radio.
Broadcasting from the iconic 299 Queen Street West. Good morning.
This is Virgin Mornings.
Radiated through space.
With Adam Wilde, DJ, and Jax.
Your new morning show. Morning show.
Good morning. Tuesday, November 17th. It is 1, and it's going up to 2.
Yay.
Potential for some flurries this morning as well, especially north of the city. I mean, in Barrie this time of year, it's always lake effect, but there's a chance that coming in from the north, like North York even, you're going to get a little bit of flurry action. So good luck on the roads. They seem pretty clear and good right now. Just take it easy. Everybody forgot what snow felt like. It's kind of that's sort of the way it is this time of year. You know what I'm saying?
We all have the same thing every year. It comes down and we go, oh, what are you?
But we've got things to distract you with, but not distract you from driving. $100 to McDonald's plus $100 at 8 o'clock with 10K Fridays. So the McDonald's will be at 7, 10K Fridays at 8, and a brand new Ghosted. Let's check in with the crew, though. TJ, what's on your mind?
In the nobody asked for this department, Michael Bay's coronavirus movie is coming out next month.
Oh.
Wow, amazing. Thank exciting. You. I hate it. It's called Songbird, and it's set just a few years into the future.
Oh.
Where coronavirus, COVID-19, has now become COVID-23. It's like a different strain of the...
It.
And it's
oh,
just boy. The whole thing. I was
don't
reading. I don't even want to
no.
read
yeah.
what the movie's about. This is going to bum you out.
How many explosions will there be?
It's so many.
Yeah. Millions.
But KJ Apa's in it from Riverdale.
Okay.
And then somebody else is in it, too. So,
all right.
There you go.
There you go. TJ knows me. He went on IMDb this morning. Jax, what's up?
Well, if you're looking to get sneaky, Facebook wants to help you out. They just rolled out disappearing messages on Facebook and Instagram, so you can do what you need to do with that. It's essentially like Snapchat. So once it's in there, it's gone. You just have to like swipe over in your messages and then disappearing.
Can you screen grab them though? If somebody sends you a message.
I'm not sure because I'm scared of technology.
What's the point of a disappearing message if you can be screen grab?
I don't think that you can screen grab.
I'm sure it will send a screenshot notification.
Like Snapchat, yeah.
But even so, not disappearing at that point. Producer Jesse.
I want to shout out Toronto Dr. Emma Bell. She went internationally viral yesterday for calling Elon Musk a space carrier.
Ah, yes.
So he tweeted that he got 4 different results for his coronavirus test in the span of like a couple hours. And she explained to him the science behind that and that the rapid tests sometimes give back different results based on which nostril you're using.
Yeah.
And she called him a space Karen in her tweet, and she went viral.
Wow.
So shout out Emma Bell from Toronto.
Yeah, Emma.
Dr. Emma Bell.
He might be brilliant and doing brilliant things, but that doesn't mean he's brilliant in every walk of life.
No. Right.
It's like asking Steve Jobs for empathy classes. It's not, you know, these were, you know, these guys, these people are brilliant, right?
In certain
ways. In their thing.
Yeah, exactly.
In their one thing.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not asking him for COVID-19 stuff. I'm asking him how to get to space.
Exactly.
And that's sort of where it ends, right?
Just because you're a genius doesn't mean you're not a turd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So good morning. We hope you're having a wonderful day.
Virgin Mornings
with What's Trending.
And this is what's trending right now.
Remember that scene in Mean Girls, the Christmas dance? Well, it was originally way racier, but the director thought it was going to be a bit too much. The moment written in the script that we couldn't figure out what to do was they would do some sexually embarrassing dance move. And the best that they could come up with was they put their butts in the air, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Then when they saw it on camera, the director, Mark Waters, said, whoa, that's way too much.
Yeah.
Let's go with something else. And the plastic settled on a thigh slap.
Ah.
So I love that thigh slap. It's hilarious.
It's very funny.
That's one of my
they say it
movies.
Makes the whole scene, and it's actually kind of perfect that it worked out the way it did.
That's yeah. Cool. Yeah.
The dad's face.
I know.
Just so great.
Oh, damn.
Ariana Grande is putting up the video for 34 plus 35 today, and you know who's pumped about it? Louis Capaldi. Louis Capaldi put out a video after figuring out what 34 plus 35 means, and it's a little bit sarcastic, but just have a listen.
34 plus 35, right? Simple song about the joy of maths, but the joy of adding two numbers together, right? I think we can all agree that's something we can all enjoy. It's a very relatable thing. But, right, I've crunched the numbers, right? I've crunched the numbers so you don't have to. And after, doing my equations, right, I've realised 34 plus 35 equals 69. She's talking about shagging. The song's about shagging. It's not about maths at all. It's about shagging. I'm thinking she's a budding mathematician. She's talking about shagging. 69,
him.
Shagging.
I love Louis Capaldi so much.
Yeah, people need to look up the lyrics to side side by side or side to side?
Side to side. Yeah. Yes.
That's what that's about,
that's
too.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
TJ, don't.
Walking side
I'm
to side.
I'm learning that music might be full of metaphors, guys.
It's crazy.
Imagine.
Wild how that works.
Boys, stop it.
Yesterday, we talked about Harry Styles being the first solo man on the cover of Vogue magazine wearing a dress and looking super cool. And then yesterday afternoon, the internet, for some reason, got mad because a man was in the dress and it's not, air quotes, manly, so the internet described. So this is just a reminder that being, quote, a manly man is about being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter what you wear.
Gender fluidity and wardrobe fluidity and fashion fluidity is beautiful and normal and should be celebrated, not hated.
Yeah. Absolutely. Confidence in who you are makes you manly.
Yes.
Or womanly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or whateverly.
Yeah. Or humanly. Exactly.
Humanly. There you go.
Humanly. Yeah. Or humanly.
Boom. We found it. That's what's trending. I'm TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
Finally, some happy news. You need to buy a PS5. Now, if you've been thinking about buying it, looking at it, and you're thinking, oh my God, that price is a lot. It's like $700 or $800, right?
Yeah, it's not cheap. Lot. It's a lot. And that's if you can get your hands on one.
That is a third of a rent payment in Toronto. If you can get your hands on one of these, the rationalization is actually quite interesting about why you need to buy one of these. Because, guys, it's good for your mental health.
Okay. And where are we getting that from?
Playing video games. This is from CNN.com, yeah. Jax. Trusted name in news. Playing video games may improve your mental health and make you happier, according to a scientific study that used industry data from gaming companies to analyze players' well-being. The research done by the University of, Oxford?
Oh, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're good English school.
Analyze the effects of playing two popular video games, Nintendo's Animal Crossing, which everybody played.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And Electronic Arts' Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for the Neighborhood. Battle for Neighborville. I don't know if I've played that one. Found that time spent playing games was associated with players reporting they felt happier.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, and this is what I've always said about video games, is when you play them, it sucks you out of your world and into a new one, so you can just put everything aside for 10 or 15
positive
minutes.
Positive escapism.
Bingo.
Yeah. I call it brain parking, but I like that one.
Yeah, brain parking's nice. Yeah, I like that.
It's also kind of interesting that the two games that they studied, like one of them being Animal Crossing, which is the happiest game on earth.
Right.
You're actually just a little cute like creature, and you're just living life.
And there's no goal, and there's no pressure. You just kind of build your little house. Jax?
But I want to know at what point it switches. Because, like, yeah, it's fun and sweet to play Animal Crossing, but, like, for example, I love to play The Sims.
Yeah.
I feel great when I play The Sims until it's, like, 3 days later, and I can't keep playing The Sims. You know what I mean? I realize. Or Zelda in the spring. I was playing Zelda.
And
I was having so much fun for the first couple weeks, and then I started crying by the third week.
There was a study that came out yesterday about the most stressful video games to play. And
what
number one on the list, Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mario Kart.
Have you ever played Mario Kart with somebody who's really good at Mario Kart?
Anybody who plays with me. Guys, I've literally beat all of you on multiple occasions. But
no,
seriously,
it
turns... I have and I will again.
You will not.
It turns people... It really shows you people's true colors, that game.
I would say on the show I probably play the most video games. So, number one, it's nice to be the healthiest. And number two, it's really interesting because, you know what I hate when I'll be playing a video game? Like, I'll be playing NHL. The hockey video game. I'm sitting there playing and I get frustrated if I start losing.
Oh, yeah.
And my girlfriend Val will start chuckling at me. And
I'm
like, don't. This is very serious. I need this.
Have you ever been mad and had a partner say to you, you need to calm down, it's just a game?
Yeah.
And I look at you.
It works.
You're just
it?
A game.
Yeah.
I used to say that to my brother David.
That's
David,
mean. You shouldn't do that.
I'd be like, oh, you're so mad about a video game. You okay there, Dave? You okay? And he'd be like, I swear to. Yeah, I'd throw his controller.
Don't you invalidate my video game feelings.
Yeah. Okay. Tiger Woods 2004, not going well there, buddy.
That was a great game and it was very difficult.
Oh, no, David.
So get yourself that PS5. It's good for your health.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
According to city officials, Toronto police busted a large birthday party over the weekend in Etobicoke.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the reaction you're supposed to have when you hear that. We shouldn't be doing large events, especially when apparently 100 people are in attendance. Here's what makes this case unique. Cops busted a storage container with 100 people in it celebrating a birthday. So it was like a weird episode of Storage Wars. Matthew Pegg, Toronto's fire chief and general manager of the city's Office of Emergency Management, told reporters that the party was shut down upon police arrival and charges have been laid against the party's organizers. So under current provincial guidelines, the organizers of the event that breaks a 10-person indoor gathering limit could face a fine between $10,000 and $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All for being in a storage locker and partying.
Well, there's like a... there's circumstances where like, whoops, maybe a couple people too many are here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which
also shouldn't happen. But if you're having a locker full of people raving for a birthday party, like that's you're looking for trouble.
They even said too that the storage unit was not quote designed or equipped for the purpose of a massive birthday bash.
No
now
kidding.
They're expecting everyone.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
The thing is now too is like those storage areas used to be great for partying, believe it or not. The thing is that they all have like security and stuff now. Before back in the day when those were seedier, you hear about when you read a lot of like music biographies from the 70s and 80s, a lot of musicians when they were struggling lived in them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm. And so they used to that it would be like a nice apartment because they'd be heated. And a lot of times they didn't have any money, so you're paying like $20 a month and you've got a place at least to put down like anything that you want. No one can claim that you can't live there. But at the time, again, there's no security cameras in. But now that there is, it's sort of easy to get caught, right? Yeah. They used to be sort of seedy, crappy buildings. Now they're really nice.
Adam's
and clean.
Listening to his classic rock podcast again.
No, way more than that.
You have no idea what the classic rockers were up to in the 70s.
I'm telling you.
I know.
It used to happen all the time. So and people used to use those as like easy party places, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot cheaper than going to a club. But
and kind of like more fun, like more intimate. Oh, you know
100%.
What I mean? Definitely more intimate.
Raves would go down and stuff like that.
It might be the only one that's learning in this moment that this was a thing that people did. I thought this was just a wild story. People partying in a storage container.
No.
Once the pandemic's over, we're having a party in a locker. And TJ, you're DJing.
Fine.
I like it.
TJ.
Yeah. This could be my ABBA playlist.
Hey.
No, it'll be like Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah. Brand new.
Oh no. Hey, we're gonna talk Taylor Swift next.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
One of the number one trending topics in the world right now is Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun. And I have to say, it's nice not to be talking about COVID for once.
Right?
Yeah, it kind of is.
However, or Trump.
Or Trump. This is icky, though. This whole situation is icky because Taylor Swift's back catalog was bought by Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun then just resold her back catalog to somebody else at an enormous profit. And I want to put this in terms, because a lot of people are having a really difficult time understanding this. So if you want to understand this, I can put this in really simple terms for you.
Okay,
let's go,
awesome.
Baby.
Okay, so I'm going to put this in terms of a house. So you grew up in a house that you also helped build, okay?
Okay.
And you're a really talented house builder. But when you were 16, the house wasn't built yet, nothing was there, it was just a plot of land. And a guy with a lot of money comes in and says, I will pay you to build this house. Being as artistic as possible, you're an incredible house builder.
Yeah.
I want you to build this house. But that guy that lent you the money to build the house owns the house. He lets you live in it. He lets you get famous off of it. But it is objectively, at the end of the day, his house. Those blueprints are his. You might have created the house, but he owns the blueprints.
Okay.
Right? That's what's happening here. He used the money he made off of you building that house, by the way, to sign other house builders.
Okay. So far, this metaphor is working.
Okay, good.
I like this.
Now, he's made money off of those house builders as well. Now, the right thing to do, because he's profited off you handsomely, would be to sell you the house back at market value.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So your house the house that you build is worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a mansion. It's one of the biggest mansions on the block. But he could sell it to somebody else at more money, and the person he's selling it to also has done several awful things to you in the past. How do you feel when he sells it not to you, but sells it to that person and doesn't tell you he's selling it?
To Jeff?
Terrible.
I'm not feeling
disgusted, disappointed. Many words come to mind.
So then the next person that owns your house owns it for 17 months and resells it and will not let you even negotiate trying to buy it.
Yeah.
Unless you sign a non-disclosure agreement, which basically says you'll never say anything bad about this person that's been terrible to you. That's what's happening with Taylor Swift. And again, her house was then sold to another person for more money and then publicly said, and this is what Scooter Braun did,
you're not great at conflict resolution and you need to work on your conversation skills. Oh, yeah. So the real, so here's
Sherry
what's happened.
On top, right?
The original house person in this is Scott Borchetta. He's the guy that founded Big Machine Records. And what Scott Borchetta should have done here, before all of this started, remember I talked about the original house, is recognized that Big Machine doesn't exist without Teardrops on My Guitar and every other single Taylor put out after that. All of her hits paid for Big Machine, the record label. Doesn't mean that other people didn't work hard, but let's be honest, Taylor Swift's had a pretty big career, right? So the moral thing to do if you're Scott Borchetta in this situation is to pay back the person who made you outrageously rich. That is Taylor Swift. If he had sold her master recordings a few years ago, they would have been worth somewhere in the neighborhood. There's speculation about $150, $200 million.
Okay.
Taylor Swift would have tried to pay that. She would have had to bring in extra money, private equity, something like that. But she would have then owned her own master tapes, which would have been great. Everybody walks away happy.
Yeah. The right thing to do.
Right.
Again,
but instead,
the right thing.
He wanted to make that extra $50 to $100, $100 million.
Sure.
Which, from a business perspective, yes, makes sense. So he sells it to Scooter Braun. Now, Scooter has had a couple of artists who's treated Taylor poorly without any reason. Kanye West, Justin Bieber, there have been a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And universally, behind the scenes, is disliked in the music business. How do I know? Because I personally have been hearing the stories for over 10 years.
Yeah.
I know this.
Not a nice dude.
Well, nice is one thing. Nice is one thing. Anyone can be nice.
It's the bare minimum.
Bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he'd be very nice to you if you met him. I just wouldn't want to get on his bad side. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, let's get, I want to really get into this. So when you hear Justin Bieber has remixed a song, so you hear, like, remember Justin Bieber randomly showed up on Despacito?
Yeah.
He showed up on Bad Guy from Billie Eilish with that terrible
no
verse.
No business on that song,
no
by the
business
way.
On that song. And it didn't even fit the song. It was stupid.
No, it didn't.
He's now on Mood from 24K Golden. And, and it's also not very good. I know we're playing it, but I'm just going to flat out say it's not a good remix. So he does. So what they'll do is they'll go in, apparently behind the scenes is what they do. Alleged, this is the alleged thing, and I'm going to say allegedly because it's important. Mm-hmm. They'll go in without the original artist's permission. So you've written a song, Justin Bieber, it's a hit song. Justin Bieber remixes that song, doesn't tell you, and then they're going, then they call you and they say, we're putting this out. And you say, well, I don't want you to. And they say, well, listen, let's be honest. Justin Bieber, way more famous than you.
Yeah.
Way longer career than you. If you put this out, there's tens of millions of dollars coming your way. And all you have to do is say, is smile and go, I love it. I'm so excited. And you think, well, I might only have 3 or 4 years being popular like this. I might as well take the $10 million.
Owning a helicopter would be pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Now, do these artists really want Justin on their songs? No, probably not. But they recognize they're sort of being bullied and pushed in, and they also have Justin Bieber's popularity, right? Yeah. His fans will consume anything that he does. So they capitalize on their moment in the sun. And I want to play something for you. You remember Mike Posner?
Yes.
Do you remember Cooler Than Me, that song that he came out with?
Yeah.
Okay. So he also wrote a song and released it, and it was called Boyfriend, and I'm going to play it for you.
If I was your boyfriend, never let you go.
Remember this song?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Justin Bieber singing it, though. That's not Mike Posner, is it?
No.
Right. So here's the story, allegedly again. Mike recorded the song. It was going to be the big follow-up to his first album because he wrote the song.
Yeah.
And Bieber's people heard it and said, Mike, Justin's actually going to record this.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so much bigger if he does it. Wouldn't you agree? Because Mike, it might have been a B hit with Mike Posner.
Yeah.
But with Justin Bieber, it was going to be a class A smash.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely right. And hey, Mike, we're going to feature you as a background singer. So it'll be Justin Bieber featuring Mike Posner, which is how it was released. Mm-hmm. But then a couple weeks after that, they dropped the featuring
drop
Mike
the
Posner.
Name. And
now
let's
it's just Justin Bieber.
Let's be clear, when you're saying that these artists were asked, it's not really a question. It's this is what's going to happen,
yeah, we've
right?
We've already done this,
exactly.
And we're going to release it.
Say yes.
You going to sign off?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that song, believe it or not, revived Justin's career. I don't know if people remember this, but back then he was kind of flagging at the time, not doing well. They kind of bullied Mike off of his own song.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that
to tell you this. Every time you hear a Justin Bieber remix, that's sort of what's going on. And you're asking yourself again, why don't artists speak out? Well, there's tens of millions of dollars in generational wealth at stake. So if you were the artist, you probably would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Back to the original story. When Taylor Swift says Scooter Braun is a bully, that is what she's referencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is him and his people, and that is what they do. It's a smart business play, but it's bullying.
Time and time again.
Now, the problem for Scooter is that Taylor is hitting him right now in the one place that hurts, because she released that statement last night and she's been doing this for a year. She is hitting him in the one thing that he's weak on. He loves being famous. Scooter Braun loves being famous. He loves having a social media preference. He was all over that original Justin Bieber Never Say Never documentary. Always posts about, you know, being positive and being good to people. His wife runs a bunch of charitable organizations, which, by the way, I'm not taking away from
exactly.
at all.
Yeah.
But he basks in her sunshine about that. Makes them look good together as a couple. His wife is really the lead on that. And that is why he wanted Taylor Swift to sign this NDA. Because remember, he wouldn't let Taylor Swift negotiate for her own songs unless she signed a contract that said, I will never say anything bad about Scooter Braun, even if this deal falls through.
Because he not only wants to be famous, he wants to be loved. He wants
famous
to be adored.
And
there's a lot of heroism there, right?
So the truth is, objectively, from a business perspective, he's done nothing wrong. He bought an asset. He really sold that asset for more money. The problem is that he has a history of targeting Taylor before this.
Yeah.
Was kind of a bully.
Yeah.
Bought her entire catalog and has done everything he can to keep her from buying it back. That is where it becomes punitive. That's where it becomes punishment. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes, you know, where she writes the song The Man, it's about him. And the reason she she wrote that about him because he's going, not only I got you here, I got you there, and I'm big tough guy.
Yeah.
The right thing to do from the beginning would have been Scott Borchetta selling Taylor Swift her masters back and foregoing the $50 million he would have lost. And you're saying, $50 million bucks is a lot of money. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But in a $200 million deal.
What's the big deal? Yeah. After the first $200 million, what else can you buy?
But that requires having a heart. And I don't think there's a lot of heart in this side of business and when you're this deep into business, right?
100%. So that is why Taylor Swift is mad. You can understand it. Scooter Braun, you can understand why he's mad, because he's built up this public persona of I'm a good guy. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the music business is not for the faint of heart.
No.
It's not for good people. The business part, if you have a favorite artist, that artist has been ripped off. Yeah. Everybody from Michael Jackson to the Beatles, and Michael Jackson ripped off the Beatles, believe it or not. There's every artist that you can ever imagine has had somebody take the money that they deserve. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift now is not fighting for herself. She's fighting for future artists 10 years down the road who don't have to sign these gigantic 10-year contracts. Yeah. But anyway, I hope that wasn't too confusing. But every time you hear this coming up, that is what's going on. And watch out for those Justin Bieber remixes. Just throwing that out there.
Virgin Mornings
with What's Trending.
And this is what's trending right now.
Mayor John Tory says more restrictions could be coming in the next few days for Toronto. The Toronto Board of Health was meeting yesterday, so a release and a plan should be coming hopefully today. We'll have to wait and see on that. In the presser, the mayor said that several different measures were being considered, including a cap on the number of people allowed inside retail stores and other indoor public spaces. Hey, Drake sucks at beer pong. That's according to Post Malone. Apparently, Post Malone challenged the artist to a drinking game in Toronto, and it wasn't even close. Post Malone told Jimmy Fallon, he came backstage at the show in Toronto, and we started playing beer pong, and I was just like, man, he sucks. So we found the one thing Drake isn't good at.
We were at that show, by the way.
Yeah, we were.
That was when we did the big Post Malone box with all the listeners and stuff.
Yep.
That was great.
That was a good show.
Who'd have thought that it was the worst night of Drake's life?
Yeah.
And we were there for it. Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber announced that a collaboration is coming out this Friday.
Woo!
The song is called Monster. The news was shared along a 13-second clip, which features a bunch of like dimly lit outdoor scenes and a synthy instrumental that plays in the background.
Now, is it a Shawn Mendes song with a Justin Bieber remix? Or
it is not that. Okay, this is an actual collaboration that they both agreed to.
Okay.
And that's what's trending on TJ.
Or at least that's what we think.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
Sometimes you are so shocked by someone's reaction to what you're wearing that you never wear that again. Like, you won't even look at that section in the store. You know what I'm talking about? It happens to everybody at least once. And I don't even think sometimes the people that look at you shocked mean anything mean by it. It's just they just are like, wow, I just didn't see that.
Have you ever had a sibling?
No.
Because yeah,
if a sibling sees you in an outfit that they don't like, they want to ruin your life and self-esteem forever.
So we will get to that story, TJ. But first, we must rewind back to a Jax story. Now, Jax's childhood, teenage years were interesting because, like I said, she was a young offender.
Hey.
Actually was arrested, suspended multiple times, including for smoking weed inside of the bathroom
at school. Puff pass over here, yeah.
And was dating dudes back in the day.
Yeah.
Specifically, the one guy we always reference, Derek.
Derek!
So needless to say, it was a conflicted childhood.
Yeah.
So tell us about what happened with Derek and the turtleneck.
So I am 15. Derek and I are just in love. We are so in love, and we're going on a date. So I'm getting ready for our big date because I think we were going to Pizza Delight or somewhere
cool. Oh, wow.
Maybe even Steak and Stein.
Steak and Stein was gross.
I know. You shut your mouth.
Steak and Stein is so good.
What is it?
It's a steakhouse, but it's in a strip mall beside a Loblaws, and it is probably not been renovated since 1962.
Incredible. Double Delmonico, baby. Okay, anyways.
Carpeted floors.
I'm getting ready for my big date. So I'm upstairs, and I'm getting my herbal essences in. I'm washing and conditioning. I have streaks. They're very chunky. My hair's down in my shoulders. I'm feeling good. I'm putting on my Caboodles mascara. The girls know. Blue tint, maybe even. And earlier that day, I picked up at the Gap this skin-tight turtleneck. And, like, I was ready to
What color was this turtleneck?
It was black.
Yeah, that's good.
It was black. So I was ready to just show my man what was up. You know what I mean?
So he could see how lucky he is.
Yeah. So Derek comes and picks me up in his mom and dad's minivan, and he's downstairs waiting.
That's so hot.
At my front steps. And I'm like, it's like the entrance of a movie. You know, like when you come down the stairs, slow-mo. Like in a prom dress. Yeah. So I'm wearing my flare jeans with my turtleneck, and I'm so excited. And I come down the stairs, and I really take my time, boys, because I want to show him what's up, you know? And I take my time, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, he can't keep his eyes
off
of me.
What's the movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. where he...
That's the one I'm thinking
of. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it Never Been Kissed?
No, that's with Drew Barrymore.
Scream.
Not Scream either, but you...
Scream too.
Somebody will text it in a triple 9-0.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're walking down the thing, and it's almost like prom, and then what happens?
And I get to the bottom, and he's staring at me, and I'm like, take a long look, Derek. And he looks me dead in my eyes. And Derek says, you look like a poet. I was kind of like, oh. And I was like, ha, no.
You look like a poet.
And like, he didn't mean it in a good way.
So then Jack's
and
the
so I was like, I gotta go fix my hair. So I went to the bathroom, I looked at myself, and I was like, I look like a poet. And
so he wasn't wrong.
No, he wasn't wrong, but I wanted him to be like, you're beautiful, baby. I love you. Like something. I'm 15.
Snaps,
like, right? I'm 15 and I have feelings. And so I went, so I never wore a turtleneck again. I haven't worn it. I actually just, I bring this up because just last weekend I wore a turtleneck probably for the first time since I was 15 years old and Derek ruined my life.
And sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, she stopped wearing turtlenecks, but that night she started writing haikus, and she's been doing it ever since.
By the way, the movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. is She's All That.
She's All That. That's what it is.
And that is where he finds the nerdy girl and then improves her, and then she's good looking, and then they go to prom, and everything's fine. Huh. The 90s were weird, man. That's not a good message
to
send.
Yeah,
no,
let's better your appearance, and then I'll like...
Yeah.
That's a good message for the
kids.
Oh, wait,
you're actually a good person, too. I hadn't considered that.
Whoa.
Oh, you're worth it? Like,
that's
secondary
to me.
No.
I'm Freddie Prinze Jr.
So what
he's
I want to... Where we want to go with this with you is we want to hear your story that's sort of like Jax. You were traumatized. You thought you looked amazing. TJ's got one. I've got one. Yeah. Don't worry. We're all sharing. But we want you to share, too. You had this outfit you thought was just bomb. Like, you're going to kill. And people were like, oh, no. And you've never worn anything even resembling that ever again. 416-872-9999. 999-999 to text. It's Virgin Radio.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
You wore an outfit you thought would absolutely kill. Like, you'd slay the room. But then someone said something and made fun of you, and you've never worn that thing again.
Oh, the trauma.
Let's talk to you, Tracy Brown. That's your name, right?
Well, it was.
It was. Okay. Before you got married. Fair enough.
Yes.
So why does that matter? Tell us the story.
Okay. So I think I was in about grade 7. I had went to the store with my mom. We didn't have a lot of money. So went to the store and we bought these overalls. They were corduroy overalls back in that day. They were fine. And I was so excited. I got all dressed up to school, and I went to school thinking I was the coolest thing ever. And I walked in, and the boys started calling me Farmer Brown. And I never, ever wore a pair of overalls ever again. Ever.
You start crying every time you see a pitchfork now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It drives me crazy. I still think of that every day.
I bet they were so cute, though. I bet you look great.
They were so cute. They were like rose color. They were so cute. It was so nice.
Farmer Brown.
Poor Dan. Tracy.
You know what's the worst is when the diss is mean, but it's also hilarious.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah, like,
damn, that's clever.
Yeah. Tracy, we love you, and we hope that one day that you will put on overalls one more time and feel really good.
Yeah, and send us a
picture. I highly doubt it. I'm 50, and I'm never probably going to do it.
No, Tracy,
forever.
You can do it.
You
Come
can
on.
Do it, baby.
Baby. No. Okay, thank you.
You have to. Okay, now, TJ, you got a couple text messages. By the way, the stories are unbelievable.
Yeah,
999-999.
From the 905, when I was 15, colored golf shirts were in, pardon me. I had a bright yellow one that I loved. While wearing it, a girl said to me that yellow doesn't look good on blondes. 15 years later, I have never worn or tried on yellow again.
By the way, I remember that trend. I think we were in high school at the same time. Yeah. Everybody had the Lacoste. If you couldn't afford Lacoste like me, you got Latigue, which you got at Winners, and it was super cheap. And it had a tiger instead of an alligator on it.
Yeah, Latigue. But only people who knew who got close to you.
That's right. Yeah, because it was still green. Keep them coming. 999-999. Virgin Radio.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
A 99.9 Virgin Radio.
So, let's talk about the fact that you had an outfit you thought was going to kill, and then it didn't, and people made fun of you for it, and you've never worn that article of clothing again. I'll give you an idea of what we're talking about here. So, a couple years ago, producer Jesse was still the producer of my show at the time, and I wore linen capris.
Oh.
And a linen shirt as well.
Oh, was it yacht day at work?
And I had Sperry's on.
Yeah, of course.
And it was a summer day. It was beautiful. Yeah. And I was like, I thought I looked really, really cool. I had white linen pants, a blue linen shirt with like a hoodie on the back. And I thought I looked cool. But then producer Jesse and my co-host at the time were like, no, it doesn't. And then threw it up on Facebook, and it got downvoted. And I haven't worn linen again.
I bet it did.
Producer Jesse, do you have anything to add to that?
You looked like you listened to a lot of yacht rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Little river band.
Yeah.
Adam's just like, put on Kenny Loggins. Not Messina, just Loggins.
Can I also just say that, Adam, I love you, but you're way too sweaty of a man to be in a linen suit.
That's why he needs it. It breathes.
Yeah,
not for him. I can't see it.
Great when he's doing yard work.
Breathes enough nothing, for me, let's be clear. Breathes, yeah. TJ, what about you?
When I was in high school, it was prom, which, as you guys know, is the day.
It's that day.
You're like, hey, I brought it throughout the school year, but I'm bringing it today. And I knew exactly what I wanted to wear on prom. And I told my girlfriend, like, these are the colors we have to wear. Black, blue, and white.
Whoa. You sorted out the color combo for you and your girlfriend.
Don't worry, baby, I'll take it from here.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love
so you. So I wore a black jacket, black pants, staple. A power blue shirt and a white skinny tie.
Cool.
And just to clarify too, my girlfriend at the time wore, her dress was like black on top with like a blue kind of sash in the middle.
You like made the dress.
And then the bottom part. Yeah.
Tim is at the sewing table.
Yeah.
Don't worry, they look great.
I have pins in my lip.
Yeah. This is what you shall wear.
It had zebra print bottom. So like,
ew, TJ.
Yeah, we stood out. And I remember, I was sitting in the car, and I was feeling, like, really good. I was like, this is going to be a game changer for me. And I barely took 10 steps when I got out of the car, and my buddy looked me up and down and said, you look like a magician.
Oh.
Damn it, he's right. I do look like a magician. Luckily, I had a whole bunch of rabbits in my pockets.
That's beautiful.
Like, here you go.
Beautiful. A couple more texts?
Yeah, I got two last ones here from the 416. In grade 9, I shaved my head into a mohawk. I opened my locker, and the girl next to my locker looked at me and just said, ew, and walked away.
Oh, honey.
That's something that sticks with you for a long time.
You're not going to forget that.
Last one here. A one-piece jumpsuit from Le Chateau in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited to wear it to school. Within the first 10 minutes of school, a girl snarkily said, nice pajamas. I walked home and changed. I lied and told my parents that my friends spilled water all over it and never wore it again.
Water?
Ever.
Oh, yeah.
Water comes out. Okay.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. No, it stains. Yeah, especially if they're in a one-piece jumpsuit.
You know, if you wanted something loud and aggressive, Le Chateau was the place to go.
R.I.P.
Yeah, you know long may it rest.
You know what I've learned about all of this? We are all damaged, aren't we?
We certainly are. Yeah. By each other. We got to stop.
Virgin Mornings.
With What's Trending.
And this is what's trending right now.
One of the most iconic scenes in Mean Girls is the Christmas dance. And it was originally supposed to look a lot different, a lot racier, if you will, but the director pulled it because he thought it was a bit too much. So the moment written in the script that they couldn't figure out what to do was they do some sort of sexually embarrassing dance move, and the move that they came up with was that they would stick their butts in the air. But after they did it, the director, Mark Waters, was like, whoa, this is way too much. So
these are supposed to be girls in high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what the Plastics came up with, of course, was the iconic thigh slap. Ooh, it's a tricky one to say.
And it's so bad.
I love it. I think it's hilarious. I do it all the time.
And it's a good thing they did, because it ended up being super iconic. And anyway, that story just came out yesterday. That was really interesting. Ariana Grande is putting out the video today for 34 plus 35. And you know who's really pumped about it? Louis Capaldi. He put out a video after figuring out what 34 plus 35 means. And
34 plus 35, right? Simple song about the joy of maths, but the joy of adding two numbers together, right? I think we can all agree that's something we can all enjoy. It's a very relatable thing. But, right, I've crunched the numbers, right? I've crunched the numbers so you don't have to. And after, you know, doing my equations, right, I've realised 34 plus 35 equals 69. She's talking about shagging. The song's about shagging. It's not about maths at all. It's about shagging. I'm thinking she's a budding mathematician. She's talking about shagging. 69, shagging.
I love Louis
Capaldi.
He's
so sweet, right?
He's so delightful.
And I wonder what her new song Position is about.
Dare I say, it's about yoga. Yesterday, we talked about Harry Styles being the first solo man on the cover of Vogue, wearing a dress, looking super cool. And then yesterday, surprisingly, the internet was upset with it. Some people on the internet got mad because a man in a dress just isn't manly. So this is just a friendly reminder that being a, quote, manly man is just about being comfortable in your own skin. And it doesn't matter what you wear. So stop it with that.
Yeah. It is just, like, more fluidity, the better. And just, Harry Styles, beautiful. Beautiful human, regardless.
How about you just focus on being a nice person and then focus later on what people are wearing? Or not focus on it at all. Who cares? That's what's trending. I'm TJ.
This is Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.
On 99.9 Virgin Radio.
Taylor Swift and Scooter Braun, arch rivals. Nemesis. Nemesi? I don't know what you do.
Nemesis is plural in itself, right?
Yeah, I think so.
She doesn't have many nemesis. Hey, text or call. Yeah. You know the numbers.
You know the grammar. Hey, listen. So here's the thing. Taylor Swift is trending again. She put out a statement last night after we found out that Scooter Braun, who bought her songs, her back catalog, then resold them. And she was cut out of the negotiations. It's very confusing, but I'm going to put it in terms that I hope are a little bit more understandable. And if I'm losing you, please text or call or Jax or TJ, give me the heads up, okay? So I want you to imagine that you grew up in a house that you also helped to build.
A house analogy. Let's go.
And that you were like an architect whiz. You were like this amazing kid. And you create at 16 these amazing blueprints. And you do it again at 18 and 20 and 22. And you're building these amazing houses. But the person who's lent you the money to build these houses owns the blueprints. Okay. You've created the blueprints for them, but they own the blueprints.
I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
So 10 years, you've built houses for him. He's become very rich off the housing, off of your housing abilities. You've also become very rich. And he used that money that he made off you to build other houses and find other people like you who are great house builders. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
He made money off them too. The right thing for him to do would be eventually to say, listen, you were the first artist that made houses for me. I'm going to sell you your blueprints back.
Let's be good to each other.
Yes, because you made me extraordinarily rich and I have you to thank, and thank you very much. And we worked together on this and it was great. But instead of selling them to you, without your knowledge, he goes and sells them to somebody else at above market price. So you would have paid market value for your blueprints back. But he's gone and he sold them to somebody else because he could make more money from that somebody else.
Yeah.
So that torches your relationship. Now this person, is kind of mean to you anyway. This person's always been kind of a like a bully in the shadows for you. And he owns your house that you built and those blueprints for 17 months, won't sell it to you without you signing a contract that states you won't be able to say anything bad about him again. Oh. Won't even start in the negotiations until you say, I promise to never bash you publicly.
Sidebar, can I get my hand on a few of those contracts and start handing them out to people?
Then he sells your house to another person for even more money and tells them that if they reach out to you at any point during this deal, deal's off. That's what's happened here. And then he goes out and says publicly that you're not great at conflict resolution. So Taylor Swift had masters. They were owned by Big Machine, which is her record label at the time, and a guy named Scott Borchetta, who founded the record label in 2005, signed her in 2006, developed her, and from then on, she became an international
superstar. On a 10-year deal, right?
Yes. Yeah. And in that time, he brought in Florida Georgia Line, Sheryl Crow, Rascal Flatts, Thomas Rhett, all very successful artists in their own right, but was able to finance them because of the money he made off of Taylor Swift.
Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, he refused to. Now, Sheryl was already a star.
Love
he refused
Sheryl
to
Crow.
Sell Taylor Swift's masters, her blueprints, back to her.
Yeah.
Sold it to Scooter Braun, who's been sort of a bully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sort of
a bully through
quite
Kanye
bully,
and Justin Bieber.
Quite a bully. Yeah.
So then Scooter Braun wanted to resell them. Taylor Swift knew this, tried to enter negotiations with him, and he said, No. If you want to negotiate with me, you have to sign a non-disclosure that says, I will never trash you publicly again, whether the deal happens or not.
That's terrifying.
Scary, right?
Yeah.
Well, and nobody is making you sign that deal if they're not a little afraid
exactly.
of public perception, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, he has sold those masters to somebody else.
Yeah.
And he has the right to make money against them in the future. Meaning that if, let's say, they take a Taylor Swift song, Style, for instance, and sell it for a Mazda commercial, they're able to... He's able to take a piece of that up to like $150 million.
So he has sold it and will still continue making money off of this deal.
Yeah.
It's so absurd. Greasy.
It's greasy, greasy, greasy.
Sneaky and snakes.
Now, objectively, none of what he did, Scooter Braun did, and none of what Scott Borchetta did is illegal or wrong in a business sense because business is amoral. However, if Scott Borchetta had just sold Taylor Swift's stuff back to her, probably would have given him $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he went for the $250 million, sold it to Scooter Braun instead, and we have this mess. Does that make sense?
Yes. I follow.
Do you follow?
I do follow.
You look a bit like you're glazed over. I'm not really sure.
No, I'm in.
Okay.
Here's the too long to the reversion. Scooter Braun bad.
yeah, pretty much.
Well, he likes to be famous, so there's no question that he probably wanted to protect his public persona. But anyway, long story short, it's going to be an intractable, long, ridiculous process. And Taylor Swift is also re-recording all of her old music anyway, which is going to diminish the value of her original tapes.
And she has also said in good news that she has a lot of surprises up her sleeves over the next couple months. So, like, that's good news for Taylor Swift fans.
I'm excited for that. Hmm. We could use some good news.
Right?
Yeah, we could.
It's Virgin Radio.
Virgin Mornings.
With What's Trending.
And this is what's trending right now.
Mayor John Tory says more restrictions could be coming in the next few days for Toronto. He said he and Doug Ford have both been hinting and that things have been coming for... Or sorry, they didn't say it, but they have been hinting for some time that some more things could be coming this week. Now, yesterday, the Toronto Board of Health was meeting, so a release and a plan could hopefully come today, potentially tomorrow.
Yep.
The mayor did say that several different measures were being considered, including a cap on the number of people allowed inside retail stores and other indoor public spaces.
Good.
Drake sucks at beer pong. That's according to Post Malone. apparently challenged the artist to a drinking game when he was at a show in Toronto, which I believe was like this time last year. And said that it wasn't even close. He was telling Jimmy Fallon, he came backstage at the show in Toronto, and we started playing beer pong, and I was like, man, he sucks. So it's kind of nice to know that we found the one thing Drake isn't good at, or is it just that Post Malone is really good at beer pong because Post Malone is starting his own beer pong league?
I think if you were average at beer pong around Post Malone, you'd look terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine Post Malone being quick. Like moving fast. You know?
You don't
like,
have to with beer pong. You take your time.
Don't you have to like...
Have you played beer pong before?
I don't think I've ever played beer pong. Wait a second. I've never played beer pong. I was thinking of ping pong. I was thinking this whole time of Post Malone playing ping pong.
Well, you play with ping pong balls, but...
It's also kind of dependent on what rules you're playing. Like I remember in Brampton when we would go to parties, if we were playing Heart Lake rules, it meant one thing. If you were playing Notre Dame rules, it meant another. Mayfield, another, and various other high schools in Brampton. And sometimes they would do like trick shots where like, oh, if I do this thing behind my back, I win the game. I'm like, well, then what's the point of the game?
Exactly.
Like, you can win it one shot.
No, you gotta just win.
I'm from Nova Scotia. Just drink. You don't need a game.
Yeah.
Drink and tell stories.
Drink.
That's right. In a kitchen.
Drink and go to bed.
That's right. Yeah. Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber announced a collaboration that's coming out on Friday, and the song is called Monster. They shared the news alongside a 13-second clip, which features a number of dimly lit outdoor scenes and a sort of synth in the background.
I bet it's going to be slow.
It potentially could be.
I bet it's going to be slow and romantic. Hot take.
Will it reference God? Who knows?
Stop it.
That's what's trending up, TJ.
He's super happy. Don't you forget it.
I love Haley.
I love Haley so much.
And she loves me.
Haley. Anyway, listen, we love you.
How did
we'll
you get a hold of his vows?
It's wild.
Virgin Mornings with Adam Wilde, TJ, and Jax.